want to preach on is Psalms 1, verse 1 through 4. That's the blessed. And then in Psalms 133, 1 through 3, they that are in unity. And Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 4, the spiritual anointing. I think those three things are three things that we really need in the church. The spiritual anointed, the blessed. How many believes we ought to be blessed? Here's the thing that gets us blessed. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 4. Maybe we'll read all six of them. I begin to tell people how I study the Bible, and they begin to latch on to this, and they're getting a lot out of it. Blessed is the man. What does he do to get blessed? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You cannot be blessed of God and walk in ungodly counsel. You can't listen to people that's ungodly and listen to their counsel. I'll tell you, here's their counsel. I'll tell you what I would do. Or I'll tell you what I would do. If they're ungodly people, that you can't listen to them and be blessed. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The next thing, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So he can't stand in the way of sinners. And what he was teaching this morning, I was thinking about the language that some people are supposed to be Christians use is not soul winning. In other words, it stands in the way of sinners. And we don't want to stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And then the next one is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you ever see people that just found something wrong with everything? I don't care what you do. I don't care how good you try. They'll find fault with you. They'll find fault with the church. They'll find fault with this. I like this, that, but. I really like this part of it, but. It's something there that I don't like, and so they're constantly sitting in the seat of the scornful. And that's not the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we have to follow his example. The thing here that gets us to the place where we're blessed. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless every person here. He wants to bless every person in this community. He wants to bless every person in this United States. He wants to bless the whole world. But the world is in such a turmoil, he can't bless it. So now we're getting judgment of the world. You can say what you want to, but these floods and all these things that's taking place are nothing less than the judgment of God upon the ungodly. Nor setteth in the sea the scornful. Now, we've finished what he doesn't do, but let's go what he should do. Number two, Psalms 1 and 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God, the law of the Lord, his delight. Are you delighted in the word? Do you just love to sit down and study the word of God? Do you just delight in the word of God? His delight is in the law of the Lord. That makes him blessed. That's one thing he's blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, look to the next thing. And in his law doth he meditate, how much? Day and night, he stays right in there thinking about the Lord. His main focus is upon God all day. His main focus is on God during the night, day and night. His main focus is not on the Lord just when he comes to church. His focus is upon the Lord day and night. That means when you lay down to sleep, your focus is upon the Lord. That means when you rise up in the night, your focus is upon the Lord. That means when you get out of bed of a morning, your focus is upon the Lord. That means that day and night, you're focused in, zeroed in upon the Lord. That makes a person blessed. How can God keep from blessing somebody like that? Amen. Now, number three tells him the outcome. The outcome of this operation that we just discussed in two verses here. And now he tells the outcome of it. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. planted by the rivers of water. Can you visualize a great big oak tree or a great big other kind of a tree planted by the rivers of water, or down by the rivers where there's good dirt, good soil, and he's planted by the rivers of water? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The next thing that he does, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He brings forth fruit. How many knows what the fruit of the Spirit is? Galatians chapter 5 tells us that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, mercy. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what he will bring forth. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now the next thing, he looks pretty good because his tree, how many know a tree without leaves don't look too good? Go out there and look at these. Ain't they beautiful? They don't have no leaves. But this one says here, listen, what it says here. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. So he's an evergreen. The only thing I can find out the leaf don't wither on is an evergreen. And the Bible has much to say in the Psalms and different places in the Bible about the evergreen tree. It's always green. His leaf doesn't wither. The tree is planted with the rivers of water. It bringeth forth its fruit in its season. The leaf shall not wither. And listen what else here. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everybody knows that. Now, that doesn't just mean prosper financially. That does mean financially. The charismatics, they've got it where that's all it means, you know. But it means prosper financially, all right. But it means prosper spiritually and prosper physically and prosper mentally and prosper in every way that God is pleased with us. It'll prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Somebody said, yeah, but the devil done this and the devil done that. Don't make any difference what the devil done. If that person is living that kind of a life, whatever he does will prosper. Get out of the way, devil, because you can't stop that person from prospering. You can't stop that remedy from prospering. It's God's word. And we have to accept it, and the devil has to get out of the way, and he has to get out of the way of your life if you'll use this method against him. How many have ever, boy, you're quiet this morning. That's good, though. Huh? You can't keep them from prospering. You've seen people that just, the devil just rise up against them. They just keep on prospering. They just keep on shouting. But these here things has to be initiated in our lives. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then it comes on down to verse 4 and said, the ungodly are not so. It's an opposite thing for them, the ungodly. No need in the ungodly trying to prosper. Somebody said our nation was the greatest nation. It's a prosperous nation. It's not now. It's ungodly, it's broke, it's let everything come in, and it's legal to do this, legal to smoke pot, it's legal to have alcohol, beer, same-sex marriage, you name it, abortion, murder, everything you can think about, and it can't prosper anymore because it's got to get back to the principle of prosperity. Prosperity. That man will prosper. The ungodly are not so. Our nation has become ungodly. They don't even want to say it's a Christian nation anymore. They just want to say, you know, it's a religious. Now, religion and Christian could be two different things. So let's look here. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're like the chaff that the wind drives them away from God because they can't prosper, so they're driven away. How many knows that Cain was driven away? He had to leave and went out to the land of Nod. So ungodliness causes to be cast away instead of brought in. Verse 5 said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. How many knows they can't stand in the congregation of the righteous? If we get together and we all live a good, righteous, holy life and keep ourselves in this principle right here, sinners could come in the house and instead of sit there, they're going to come to the altar and get saved and get delivered from their sin and they'll be with us. And then that's going to get into the next thing that we're going to talk about. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So number one, the blessed. We just covered the unblessed. Now we're going to Psalms 133 and we're going to find the unity. How many knows we all should be in unity? That's the pleasant way. It's the blessed way. So let's look at this. Psalms 133. Beginning with verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the only way that we can ever have unity is all of us get a hold of the same God, the same Spirit, the same Word, the same power, the same glory, the same everything. And if we all get a hold of that, then it brings us into you. I don't care how much you want to get along, how much unity that you think that you could get, you can't get it until we get it God's way. Our nation, people are just mad. I mean, they're just plain mad. They want to kill. They want to destroy. Well, that's what the thief wants. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God wants us in unity. But we have to follow the formula. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now listen, he tells them what it's like. I like what it's like, don't you? Let's look and see what it's like. It is like the precious ointment, or the anointing is what it is. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew of that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Now behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How is that? It is like a precious, it's like the ointment that comes on, the anointing that comes on. And it goes down over the whole body. Aaron, it says. And that body he's talking about that represents is the body of Christ. And how many knows that anointing needs to go be on every person in the church? Every person that comes to church needs to allow that anointing to flow down upon them because they're a part of the body. And how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, he was the priest, that went down to the skirts of his garment. In other words, we get doused with the whole thing. How many thinks that I'm the only one supposed to have the anointing here? I'm the one that has to be the responsible for bringing it in, but it needs to be on every one of you. And what is it? It's good and it's pleasant. How many likes pleasant things? I'm tired of ugly things. I'm tired of mean things. I'm tired of things that destroy. I'm tired of things that kill. I'm tired of it. I think that we ought to rise up and bring life into the picture and the anointing in the picture, the power of God in the picture that will set the captive free, bind up the brokenhearted, pack these pews out with people that wants the glory. So that brings us to the third part of this message, the anointing. And we got on this in the revival here. Isaiah chapter 61. This will not be a long message this morning. But I believe it's one that's needed for everybody. Not just this church. Every church I know needs this. They really need it. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. Now, I want you to notice here the loosening of the hold of the power of the enemy. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God. Now, that's dealing with the ministry to start with there, which is even Christ. And it's dealing with his ministry, which I don't have my ministry. My ministry is his ministry. It's not mine, it's his. If I'm doing it right, then it's his. And I take the responsibility for doing it right. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Period. Because, see, it's always an explanation. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. And that's what we have seen here in the ones that we're talking about, the Pankeys, the Kempkers, and other people that have got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. There was something came upon them. The folks that got saved here a few years back, Gary and his, Griffith and his wife, and others that's been saved. What happened was the Spirit of the Lord got upon them because it was in the church and it was upon the ministry and Christ was in the thing. So people began to get saved and the Spirit of the Lord was upon them, the anointing to preach good tidings to the meek, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, we come into something else in verse 2. This here is where the church ought to be. Verse 1 and verse 2. We'll start here again. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn. Now, I counsel you this morning, if everyone knows what the comforter is, God sent something that was the comforter. How many knows what it is? It's the Holy Ghost that is the comforter. Everybody needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is our comforter today. And he's proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And then we got into this third one here very heavily in this revival, ashes. Ashes. In the Old Testament, they would sit down in a pit of ashes, pour them on their head, and Job scraped the sores upon him with a pot shred. I don't think that's a very good experience, do you? But when God got in the picture, everything was restored. God gave Job twice what he ever had before. And God is in the double portion part of this thing. And it says here in verse 3, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Ain't you glad that we don't have to sit down in the ashes anymore and do all those kind of rituals that they done? And like said another night in Numbers chapter 19, the first 9 and 10 verses of that tells about the red heifer that they brought, the beautiful animal that they brought down. They slayed the animal and the blood, the priest sprinkled the blood here and there so 7 times and all that. And then burnt the heifer into ashes and all that. And then people used those. In one place it said they set in the ashes and eat the ashes. In the 44th chapter of the book of Isaiah. So we find that is not the pleasing thing, but Jesus came to give us what? Beauty for ashes. You know, just like everybody might have a different picture of today. I think this is a beautiful day. But folks that don't have the victory in what I'm talking about, they say, well, just another day. No, it's not. This is the day the Lord has made. And the Bible said, be glad and rejoice in it. It's the day that the Lord has made. Now, somebody said, do you say that when the clouds, it might be a gloomy day, but it's still the day that the Lord has made, and there's something that we can do to be glad and rejoice in it. One thing we can do what Andy does, read the Bible. all day long. Couldn't people do that? That'll help us rejoice. Another thing we can do is get filled with the Holy Ghost and rejoice in the Spirit all day. Another thing we can do, we can keep ourselves from ever being defeated. We're a winner every time if we just keep on the winning side. We have to be on the winning side, and He is the winning side, and we have victory every time. He never fails. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's with us always, even to the end of the world. And if we'll just keep our part of the bargain, He'll be with us till death do we part from this world. And then we'll have a better place to be. To appoint to them that mourn, I'm going to hurry up and quit here. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. That's a good trade. I'd trade, you know what the beauty represents? It's always called in the Bible the beauty of holiness. You know why? Because He is holiness. He is our holiness. And the Bible said He's beautiful. And it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel upon the mountains. The gospel has got a beauty in it. If we can just read it with seeing the beauty. And it says to give them, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. What a trade. I was glad when I traded that. And when I seen that, that I didn't have to have the ashes represent the mourning. You know, they got in sackcloth and ashes, and they moaned and they groaned. But He created us beauty for ashes. And then the next thing He said, He gave us the oil of joy for mourning. So that's the power of God, the Spirit of God. That's why He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. Now He's saying here, He gave us the oil of joy for mourning. Then He wants us to praise Him. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'll challenge you, every one of you, when you feel gloomy, when you feel down and out, when you feel mourning, when you feel anguish, that He'll give you the oil of joy for mourning. And then He'll give you what? He'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, I don't feel too good today. I feel a whole lot better right now than I did when I got up here. But I had to put forth an effort to get feeling better. I could have stayed home in bed this morning. She surely could have stayed home in bed. But we're going to feel better by having the all the joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. God will lighten your load. You know, I know people that's just grieved all the time, and they're down in the dumps all the time. They've got a problem all the time. This is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and just all those kind of things. God wants us to rise up out of that and get the spirit of the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What does that do for us? It's all right in here. That they may be called the trees of righteousness. See, God wants us to be trees of righteousness. The next part of it says, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. The spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that He may be glorified, that He might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. That glorifies God. How many knows that glorifies God? You know, we can get around the house and we can say, one would say, it's a gloomy day, don't feel good today, drag around, you know, and it's catching, you know, somebody else in the household catches it, say, yeah, it is, it's a gloomy day, it's a bad day. But you see, it's also catching if we'd say, I'm going to take the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want the oil of joy for mourning. I want the anointing upon me. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the broken heart, to loose them. You can start doing that, and I'll tell you, everything will turn around. Everything will change in your life. I've preached this and preached it and preached it. I've lived it too. Well, you hardly ever see me have anything wrong with me, but I have had this a little. I'll admit it. But and sometimes we get rid of things easier than we do others. But there's one way to get rid of it is just keep on doing what God's word say to do, and he'll heal you. How many know he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction? The word's what heals us. Somebody said, what do you need? We need another dose of the word. Now, let's finish this and finalize it here in verse 4. Now, what are we going to do when we get the church where it is, where it needs to be? And they shall build the old wastes. Now, it didn't say waste buildings, but what they're going to build, the old wastes, things that's wasted. In other words, people that's wasted their lives and going to get and need to get saved, they'll come back and rebuild their lives. They'll build the old waste. Build the old waste. They shall go back to former desolations. And it says, they shall raise up former desolations. Things that were formerly desolated won't be desolated anymore. They'll be inhabited by the people that has the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And they'll be in this crowd that's got rejoicing instead of sorrows. He give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that's where God wants us to build into. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So the Spirit of the Lord. How many got what I'm preaching this morning? The first step is to be a blessed person. It's the formulas there in Psalms 1, verse 1 through 4, and on down through even verse 6. The next thing is to the unity. All of us come in the unity of the Spirit. And that's in the first Psalms 133, verse 1 through 3. Unity. How good and how pleasant. That's a pleasant experience. It'd be pleasant if we all be around each other, but because we all got the same thing. We all got the same power. We got the same blessing. We got the same God. We got the same Spirit. And we got the same oil. And we got the same anointing. And it all comes into a unity. And it goes down over the priesthood to the skirts of the garments. And it's a wonderful thing. Then the last thing is the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he is anointed. Not just me. If I'm anointed, you're going to get anointed. That's why it says, touch not my anointing. Do my prophets no harm. God doesn't want us to be without the anointing. How many knows that everyone in this building can pray the anointing down? You just pray. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Whatever heads bowed and the musicians come sing a song. I like that song. I haven't heard that.